The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereeden and the rest of the crew here at Shooter's Corner at KFAR Radio here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you. There we go. Now I can hear myself.
Do we really want to hear you today?
I don't know. Why are you so loud?
I am loud. Today I'm loud.
Do we have everybody's attention now?
We got it. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, so we got Cindy, obviously, sitting with us. We got Matt, once Boise again, Bell. As always. Yeah, Miss Boise Bell. And you're here at Shooter's Corner here at KFARradio.com. And we are at 97.5 FM, 660 AM. You can always find us on the dial every Thursday at 11. And then if you miss us for some particular reason, you can always go to KFARradio.com, scroll down on the right-hand side. You'll see that little white box that says Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden. Click on that. Scroll down to the bottom. You'll find all of our archives. You can always jump on there and listen to our shows later. You can download them as well and listen to them while you're driving down the road. So it's pretty cool. I like it. I like listening to them while I'm sitting there like lasering cups or something. I don't know. It's therapeutic. What do you think?
Hearing your own voice is therapeutic.
It is. My golden dulcet tones, my radio voice. I must mention this. Apparently, I do not have a radio voice. Cindy has a better radio voice than me. Do you believe that, Matt? No.
Annie was supposed to be in here with me today. I don't know where she's at.
Yeah, so therefore, 2-1, you have the zero defense.
But no one has a good radio voice. It's always fake.
I think so, too.
I sound squirrely,
you can,
but
like,
you can
auto-tune
really...
auto-tune everything nowadays.
Yeah, you can come in and you can talk about the morning and the weather and all that, but it's fake. It's always fake. I sound like a squirrely child in real life, but then I can do a radio voice and it's
that's
fine.
That's you analyzing yourself.
It absolutely is, which I am my biggest critic, but at the same time, I know for a fact I don't have a radio voice.
We all are.
You have a radio face.
Now I do, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's get started. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, so public service announcement. Cindy and her partner over at the, what is that, the Alaska Senior Games, right?
Yes.
International Senior Games.
You're not a senior, so you wouldn't understand, right? You're a senior because you had to ask me what it was.
Whatever. Nonetheless, they took, what is that, first loser place?
We took second.
Which is like first loser place.
The biggest loser.
Yep. No.
They took silver in the women's doubles in their age group.
Yes.
We'll just say it that way.
60 to 64. I'm proud to be 60.
No, you guys did awesome, though. I was actually thoroughly impressed. You had some really, really good plays. So,
thank you.
Congratulations to Cindy
and
her partner, Sherry Wall, for taking the
there.
Silver medal. At the International Pickleball Emporium. All right, cool.
Yeah, if our city would get off the money or borough and build us a nice facility. The Anchorage
I think they should. They have the resources here to maybe develop some type of indoor pickleball stuff.
It's just not pickleball. It's tennis and it's other activities.
Sure,
and
fair
then
enough.
Anchorage says, oh, yeah, we're getting a brand new facility built.
Yeah, well, it's a private investor that's doing that, though. That's what that... Wow. That couple that came up from Anchorage said. So it's a private investor that's doing that. So
that still hurts.
Yeah, I understand. Hurts deep.
It does.
Cuts hard. All right. So next Tuesday is a significant emotional event for a lot of people. In case you don't know.
No, tell us, please.
It's in your notes.
I didn't read my
notes. I tried to throw you a bone there and you like just blew it, right?
I did blew
Teresa,
it.
Teresa, do you know what next Tuesday is?
No.
First day of school.
Oh, I knew that.
See? So remember, school is starting on Tuesday, so watch out for the kids, the buses, and plan to leave for work just a little bit early, right?
And bicycle riders like me when I'm on my bike. I almost got hit, and we had the right-of-way.
Okay, yeah, okay. Nonetheless, watch out for kids first day of school.
Yes, me.
Kids and Cindy.
Absent Cindy. Just remember, you know, you're going to have a bunch more people out there driving on the road, so you might want to leave a little bit early. And then remember, you're going to have maybe, I don't know, some high school kids driving too. So pay attention around Lathrop, West Valley, and those schools. Remember also, Alaska Statute 2835-145 talks about how you have to stop for that red arm, the stop sign arm that comes out, and the red flashing lights on school buses. Right, so make sure you pay attention. If the lights are flashing yellow, understand that it's probably going to get ready to turn red. Right, it's kind of like the regular stop.
Don't zoom by it.
Yeah, yellow doesn't mean accelerate in this case because there are some kids. They're anxious to get to school. They see the yellow lights come on. Their bus stops for them, and then what do? They run out into traffic. Right, they're not waiting necessarily for that stop arm. So I don't know. Keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention out there. You don't want to get hemmed up in that form. All right, today in history, significant day for the firearms industry back in
1854, Smith & Wesson.
Yeah, 110 years before I was born. Anywho, Smith & Wesson patents the metal bullet cartridges on August 8th of 1854. They patent the metal bullet cartridges for their revolver, making a significant milestone in firearms technology. Because remember before, it was what? Patches, ball, and
yeah,
powder.
Little Manet balls, yeah.
Yeah. So this innovation introduced the first practical revolver with self-contained ammunition, revolutionizing the industry by improving reliability and ease of use compared to earlier loose powder and ball systems. And it laid the groundwork for modern cartridge-based firearms, significantly impacting both civilian and military applications. So, do we have any SIG in the news this time?
Actually, surprisingly enough, kinda. So there was, this was actually, I think, right after our show last week. A service member was arrested in connection with the death of the airman from the SIGcident. A lot of speculation online was that, oh, they were horsing around and this guy shot this other man. They played it off with everything SIG news-wise. Well, what people don't understand with the military's judicial process is you are immediately guilty until proven innocent. They like to say it's the other way around and they act like it is, but when it comes to any sort of court martial or anything like that, you are guilty until you can find some innocence somewhere. But with that being said, you also don't need to do what is said for it to happen. And what I'm saying by this is this guy got arrested in connection to a death with a firearm possibly going off, and per the statements, they were horsing around when it went off. It doesn't mean that that other service member shot him. It doesn't mean that he was doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Chuck, as you know, you were in, and I just got out. It doesn't matter what age you are in the military. You know, a little horseplay, a little fun is good because the military, at the end of the day, it's a very, you see a lot of depressing things. There's a lot of, you know, horror. So you have fun. There's a common saying that the moment you turn 18 and you join the military, you stop maturing, and it's kind of hard because you grow up really fast. But at any rate, doesn't matter what age you are, you're going to horseplay around. Well, these two guys were horseplaying around, and the pistol did go off on its own. But because the service member lied and said that he wasn't in the room when it went off, when he was, that caused an arrest to happen on the Air Force's side. Again, doesn't mean that this guy did anything to the other guy, just didn't want to take the blame for something that they probably shouldn't have been doing, especially when handling a firearm. But at the same time, he didn't cause the weapon to go off itself.
Yeah, so the lesson out of that whole thing literally is don't play games.
Yep.
I mean, they're firearms. They shouldn't have been doing that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're horseplaying in the squad locker room or whatever the case may be, they shouldn't have been doing that to begin with.
You know, I think that's one thing that really bothers me. And we see a lot of, like, Hollywood and movie stars and what they do with their handguns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, classic example is freaking Baldwin.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, horse playing around with a gun ends up killing somebody as well. I mean, that was, what, a single-action Army revolver or whatever?
Did they ever resolve to load the handgun?
Well, that's not the issue. Just don't – all guns are always loaded. Never let the muzzle cover anything you're not willing to destroy. Or always let the muzzle cover that of least consequence.
It doesn't matter if it's a blank or if it's a live round. I mean, isn't that how Bruce Lee's kid died? Or who was it? It was a famous martial artist, but they were a stunt actor, and he put a gun to his head with a blank, pulled the trigger, and it It killed him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what it is.
I mean, you can kill somebody with what we consider to be less lethal ammunition as well. If I hit you in the, 3 feet with a beanbag round from a 12 gauge in the center mass of your chest, it's going to leave you a gaping chest wound.
Why would I even pick up a handgun and not do a press check or make sure it's clear?
It's
because,
Hollywood.
Because, well, in this particular case, the Air Force people, I mean, they were just, let's just face it. Sometimes people just do dumb stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Might have been playing hot potato with a pistol in a holster, but.
And they picked the wrong gun to do that
definitely
with.
Definitely the wrong gun.
I mean, I don't think you can still discount the fact that the Wyoming Gun Project was able to show that the SIG could have uncommanded discharges.
Yeah, everyone that has a SIG has been testing their thesis and their hypothesis, and it's replicated almost 99 out of 100 times that it's able to discharge with a 1 millimeter press of that trigger and then a little shake of the barrel.
Yep. All right. So we're done beating up on SIG.
Okay.
Got to take a month break.
Yeah, we got to take a break because we got to listen to the Valdez fishing report, which is important. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Because
silvers are pretty big this year.
They are. Apparently, they're already inside the bay, last I heard. So, all right, we're going to do that. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about this Chicago woman who was shot with a stolen buyback gun, filed suit. And there's some interesting twists to that. So, and then we'll talk about the Coriolis effect and the aerodynamic jump. And then Matt's going to talk about some long-range rifle stuff.
Yes.
So we'll be right back after this break. KFAR 97.5, 660 AM.
Today's Valdez Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with the gentleman. Tell me your name and where you're from.
Steve Kinsey, Fairbanks.
All right, and you fished silvers before?
Yes, ma'am.
And you are the captain for this Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby?
I am.
And I heard you say damn, so I don't think you got on the board today.
No, we didn't get on the board. Just out of it, but that's okay.
But nice fish. Tell us about what you brought in today.
Well, we limited out. The ladies limited out, and the largest one was 10.46 pounds, so it's a good fish.
What were the sizes of the other fish?
They were probably, I would say, 7, 8-ish, 8 pounds.
Silver fishing in Valdez. It's going through August 31st.
Yep.
So what would you recommend to folks who are wanting to catch a silver in the final days of the Derby?
Brad Cut Plug. They work awesome. Chartreuse, flashers, great rigs.
Any advice about depth?
We were ranging anywhere from 60 to 80 feet.
Yeah, pretty deep. And then were you close to shore, far away from shore? Didn't seem to matter today, I don't think.
No, we were 300-foot range. So.
Very good. Any other advice for folks on how to catch the big one in Valdez?
I don't know. I haven't caught the big one yet.
All right, but you'll be back?
Persistent. You got to be persistent. So, we're going out tomorrow. And my wife and I are, this will be like almost the 20th year we spent our anniversary week down here. So we'll be here till the 18th.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into your private cabin at Eagles Rest RV Resort, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Resort is the perfect place to land in Valdez. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at eaglesrestrv.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area. Nothing beats summer in Valdez, so the sooner you book, the better. eaglesrestrv.com. See you in Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
The only way to handle the weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Cryptic, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Danner and LaCrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River, covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Rain likely today, otherwise cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 61. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain tonight, lows level off around 45, overcast skies. Slight chance of rain tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 54, overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5, 660 AM. Oh, and as always, if you ever have any questions or comments or anything like that, feel free to call in. You can always call in at 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. And then remember, if you've missed the first part of this show, always go to our archives at kfarradio.com, and you can get dialed back into our reality, as sick and demented as that might be. All right. The second half of this program has been sponsored by The Castle. You can find all your ballistic gel over there and other shooting supplies. Always wanted to say that. Anyways. All right. Chicago woman shot with stolen buyback gun files suit. Okay. All right, got this off NRAILA, okay? So the NRA has often reported a failed gun buyback programs in cities across the country as being worse than useless. Unfortunately for some, these programs have led to even more dangerous and life-threatening consequences. While the Chicago Police Gun Turn-In Program website states that all guns are destroyed and never returned to the streets, that was not the case for Tawanda Willingham. Ms. Willingham recently filed suit against the city of Chicago and others after she was shot with a Glock 21 45 caliber handgun that had been relinquished to Chicago police at a gun turn-in event in December of 2023. The same firearm that was used to shoot Ms. Willingham was then used in at least two other shootings before being discovered on a 16-year-old boy months later, as we reported back in April of this year. Some very interesting developments out of this that literally is made for a documentary or a TV. And who did you say? Like a Martin?
Oh, yeah, Martin Scorsese film or Quentin Tarantino. It's the plot of one. Has to be.
Oh, yeah, the plot on this thickens. Do we still have a caller? All right. Hey, caller, welcome to Shooter's Corner. Go ahead.
Hey, so recent discussion online, someone was raving about the effectiveness of a 9mm on a potential perpetrator, and the debate continued to extol the virtues of the heavier 45 ACP, and then the discussion escalated into plus P and plus P plus rounds for both cartridges, and I just wanted to see if you could offer any educated opinion on the comparison of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling. Hey, so one of the things we always talk about in our Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes is that, right? Because first of all, your handgun may not be designed for a plus P or plus P plus ammunition because it's loaded at a higher chamber pressure to gain like additional feet per second or higher velocity. Yep. Because, you know, as the manufacturer says, yes, it'll give you a greater penetration. Maybe it delivers, you know, a higher kinetic energy on your threat. Fair enough. Got it. Also, what it does is it allows them to charge more for said ammo.
Yes.
To be quite honest with you. They'll charge another $10, $15 for a plus P or a plus P plus over the standard. What I tell a lot of people is 9 mil, generally, 147 grain, you know, jacketed hollow points is the ammo that you probably need. That is the best. Like, that is exactly what the FBI is using. And to be quite honest with you, as a self-defense or an armed citizen, use the same ammunition that your local law enforcement uses. That way, your defense team can literally go in and say, oh, yes, you know, whatever, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the ammo that my client was using is exactly the same ammo that is issued to the Alaska State Troopers, and therefore it wasn't, you know, he wasn't trying to cause additional harm or damage to the person, blah, blah, blah. You kind of get the point. But nonetheless, we use Ranger XT 147 grain jacketed hollow points. We have used Federal HST 147 grain in the past with the same type of results. We moved away from the 40 Smith & Wesson, much like a lot of the federal agencies have done, because it is more expensive. And even though it's 180 grains, we're getting the same performance capabilities out of the 9 mil 147 grain. And your mileage may vary. The most important thing is to find what ammo works best for your gun all the time.
Yep.
I need to be able to come out of my holster 100% of the time, and it works. So also keep in mind point of aim, point of impact. What I always recommend to people is never use your own reloads as self-defense ammunition. Always use some type of factory ammunition that has exemplar rounds, as Massad Ayoub would say, that are at the factory, meaning they have data sets already based on that particular lot, and they can always go back and say, yes, it was loaded to factory or SAMI specifications. If you reload your own, somebody, depending on where you are, because remember, especially if you're using reciprocity, you might be in another jurisdiction. And you might find a prosecutor who's going to, like, latch onto that and say, oh, my gosh, you were trying to, like, use zombie killers or something. And so you got to be incredibly careful about that. So
the zombies.
That's my educated opinion.
I mean, yeah, I think once you start to push into 40 Smith & Wesson, 10 mil, 45, you start to get diminishing returns. 9 mil's come a long way. The science behind it's come a long way. Plus price. And on top of that, 9 mil, whether it's the platform of a Glock or any 9 mil pistol remotely in general, everything's there for it. You can buy lights, rails, slides, a billion things, holsters, but it's all centered around the 9 mil platform. Everyone's moving away from 45. 10 mil's kind of still relevant, but there's no need because 9 mil now performs where it needs to be, plus 21 rounds versus 7 rounds. I'm going to take the 21 every time.
I agree. There's a lot of people that always jump on the 45 bandwagon.
Yep. I carry a 45 because it'll make a 46. So why?
Exactly. And it goes back to, yeah.
I like the argument, though, two world wars. Like, I like that one. 45 won two world wars, but that's the only argument it has nowadays.
If that's the only thing that we had to fight, like, no.
No. I mean, the M1
because
Garand.
Of the bar, the M1 Garand. Yep. The 50 cal.
The 30 cal, too.
I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff that allowed that to win. And our air, well,
we still
Army
dominated
Air Corps.
Here, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Back to Chicago.
Yes.
I hope that answered their question.
Chirac.
All right. Chirac. According to a recently filed lawsuit, after the firearm was transferred to the tactical team office following the turn-in event. All right. So that tells me right there, they didn't destroy it. They reallocated it to their tactical team because it was a Glock 45.
Yep.
Or 21 shooting 45 caliber.
Yep.
The Glock disappeared in a room full of police officers. In the subsequent investigation, it was discovered that a tag identifying the Glock had been hidden on a different firearm. The tag that should have accompanied the Glock was later found in the trash, evidence of a purposeful theft and cover-up to make it more difficult to track the firearm or its recovery.
What a bunch of idiots.
Hide
the
tag. It's a reallocation.
Better. Yeah.
They exactly what they did. They just basically stole it.
That's so lazy. I mean, I get it. They probably thought they weren't going to get caught, but man.
Further adding to the drama, the officer that was listed on those inventory records was later shot and killed by a fellow tactical team officer in what the police department labeled a friendly fire accident during a police pursuit. Dude, that literally sounds like movies.
It does. I can't.
He was probably like, oh my gosh, you mean that gun? Like, oh. I mean, I don't know the backstory on it, but like, was he about ready to squeal on the tactical team? And then somebody staged up behind him and capped
that's
him in the back.
Hold on, this is typical a movie.
Chicago.
This is a movie. It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and he's in charge of a SWAT team, and they're doing shady stuff, stealing money. They're taking weapons and everything. They go under investigation by IA and the FBI, and then what do they start doing? They start turning on each other. They start killing each other. They go missing. Someone followed this plot line to the nail.
Yeah, that's a little mafia stuff there.
You ain't lying. Okay, it's not over with yet.
Oh, it's not over.
No. No one was ever charged in any of the three crimes in which the Glock was used, and the police sergeant that supervised the gun turn-in event where the firearm disappeared was suspended for one day, for failure to adequately secure and care for department property. Yeah, okay.
There it is. That's
he didn't care. In a city with some of the harshest and most restrictive gun control laws in the nation, the bottom line is that a criminal got a hold of a firearm, due to its apparent theft by a police officer. This was facilitated, ironically, by an event supposedly designed to keep firearms out of the hands of criminals. Sadly, this was not an isolated event for the city of Chicago, nor for the other states. A similar situation unfolded previously in Chicago, where another firearm, unexpected to be inventoried and destroyed following a turn-in event, later was found next to the body of a man shot and killed in a police-involved shooting. There's your drop gun.
Yep.
Yeah, how convenient. Good old Chicago. Don't talk to me about firearm rules and gun control.
Yep.
Chicago definitely can't be the preacher
of
that.
They are on point for every stereotype that they say about Chicago.
Yeah.
That is
public
perfect.
Safety is not enhanced by gun turning programs, and certainly not in Chicago. For over three decades now, researchers from all sides of the gun policy debate appear to agree on the ineffectiveness of firearm turn-in events in reducing violent crime. No, because they're doing it there in Chicago. How's that working out, Chicago?
They're doing it in the
back. All right, yeah, we got to go into our mandatory break here for local national news and, you know, all those other sponsor stuff, which we appreciate. But we'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. We'll be right back after the break.
Fairbanks' only news talk radio station that's in full stereo. We are KFAX.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump issuing a presidential proclamation honoring the 90th anniversary of the Social Security Act and talking about ways to improve the program, including a series of legislative provisions that will help the vast majority of seniors pay zero tax on Social Security benefits.
In the campaign, I made a sacred pledge to our seniors that I would always protect Social Security, and under this administration, we're keeping that promise and strengthening Social Security for generations to come.
The president's also getting ready for his big meeting tomorrow with Vladimir Putin. They have a summit in Alaska discussing a potential ceasefire in this war with Ukraine. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt on the Fox News Channel says it was Putin who requested the meeting, and President Trump's going to try and stop the war.
He has incredible instincts, and he wants to sit down and look the Russian president in the eye and see what progress can be made to move the ball forward to end this brutal war.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minute reports that Governor Mike Dunleavy has named Janelle Earls the official in charge of the Alaska Department of Revenue's operating budget as the acting head of the department. Earls will replace, at least temporarily, Adam Crum, who announced his resignation last week. Crum was scheduled to end his state service at the end of the day last Friday. As acting commissioner, Earls will also take Crum's seat on the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation Board of Trustees. According to information released by the governor's office, Earls has worked for the state of Alaska for more than 20 years, mostly with the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, which has since been split into two separate agencies. She joined the Department of Revenue in May of 2024 and lives in Juneau with her husband, three daughters, and two grandchildren, according to the announcement. In a brief written statement, she thanked Dunleavy for placing his trust in me to manage the department and its numerous responsibilities during this important transition period. Earls will serve as acting commissioner until the governor picks a permanent replacement.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole. So, you want to go so far up the river you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Auto Trim Design has a variety of CompuStar remote starts available that are compatible with Drone Mobile, giving you the option to start your vehicle from your smart device. Ask about their proximity unlock feature that lets you unlock your vehicle as you walk up to it. No more searching for your keys while you're juggling groceries or school supplies. Auto Trim Design has been installing remote starts for almost 30 years. They're reliable, trustworthy, and stand by their work. As Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We were just on the break talking about how kind of like cloudy and cool it is. It's what we call nap weather. Like, definitely don't want to get out of the bed.
It's time to read a book.
Time to read a book and curl up with the golden doodles. But, yeah. All right. Matt, what did you have while we were talking about on the break? Something about, oh, we just got finished up talking about that Chicago thing.
Yes.
Let me make sure that there wasn't another point on that, because that was actually pretty interesting. Before the break, listeners, we were talking about Chicago's gun buyback and the fiasco they have. So if you missed it, go listen to the archive. Let's see. Okay, so local efforts, just to close this one out, local efforts like Chicago's gun turn-in program certainly contribute to perpetuating an official anti-gun orthodoxy by local government entities, but they also continue to serve as socially engineered distractions to the honest conversations needed on real public safety issue measures, which now should include accountability for government officials involved in the sort of debacles alleged in Ms. Willingham's suit. Go back and listen to the archives, and you'll hear what we were talking about there. Definitely strange. Definitely made for movie. Not a Hallmark movie either.
No, definitely not.
Like, no, that's not a Hallmark.
It could be. I mean, I guess you could turn it into a love story. Whatever. All right. So, Matt, what do we got in the long-range shooting world? We did get an email from a gentleman. Mr. Rory was interested in the long range. I heard on Shooter's Corner that you guys mentioned it and stuff, and I told him, like, it's kind of a little ways out still. It's in the developmental stage.
Yeah.
We still have to get the land developed and all that other stuff and maybe some other issues. But nonetheless.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, we're kind of thinking, like, maybe next year, hopefully. We'll see what happens, how we progress with this thing. But nonetheless, what do you got? You were wanting to talk about some rifle stuff
real quick? Yeah, absolutely. So I was going to write this down, but I have it.
That's what happens
for
when you're good,
reason.
Like
yeah.
me. You just blow it off the top of your head. You don't need to write.
What does Ricky Bobby say? I'm the best there ever was. Simple is. I like that quote. Only applies to like one thing in my life, not this. No. So for long range stuff, one of the things I do really like to talk about is budgeting into long range. People think that, and it again, a really bad stigma used to be that my glass needs to be as much, if not double, the cost of my rifle, which, depending on what your budget is, could very easily happen or could be absolutely insanely, like that'd be like purchasing another house.
But there is a key point to that, though. I mean, you do really need to have a good quality, clear glass.
Yes. And there are
some crap
expectations.
Glass out there.
Yeah. So like, or exceptions, excuse me. So like I couldn't use, I think they're called Siley. They make a good pistol SR, like the Trijicon SRO.
Right.
They make a knockoff of that or their own version of it. It works well. But I've looked through some of their higher magnification optics, and it looks like I'm looking through a kaleidoscope. So not good. But for the most part, there are companies that you'd have to vet, or you listen to people, and you can kind of pick and choose that make really good optics. At the same time, the biggest part of that, I can't shoot and use this optic if I don't have a weapon, right? So there are some budgetary things that can come with that. One of the great places you can start out with is going to any of your local gun stores and looking at what they have for a hunting collection for rifles. I prefer, as a starter weapon, at least if I want something as a base rifle that I can use immediately or I can build upon is anything Savage 110 series, just because out of the box, I want to say Savage has a lifetime warranty. Even then, I know a lot of people who have purchased Savage products secondhand. They have an issue with it. They email Savage saying, this is the issue I'm having with this. How much do I have to pay you guys to fix this? And they say, just send it in. We'll fix it to you for free. So one, really good customer service on their part. But two, the aftermarket support for Savage is insane. I would compare it to Remington because Remington's been around forever as well.
And they weren't bought out by an Australian company yet, right?
No. We're not Barrett here. the other thing, too, is with that, I think it's – you can go with the Savage Access line as a starter rifle to start doing long range. Now, you're not guaranteeing sub-MOA for $300, right? You'd be ridiculous to think that out of the box, brand new, I'm going to be – actually, I hate when people say it's like a stacking tax – or stacking dimes. I hate that saying because people say that and it's like they're at 25 yards. They're pretty much point firing and they're blown away that a 30-inch barrel is doing so much at such a short range. But, you know, you're expecting a 2 to 4 inch group at 100 yards and that's going to translate over, you know, X amount of distance, whatever. But again, for a $300 bolt action rifle, you're going to expect right around an inch and a half group. Again, it's meant for hunters, people that want to have some sort of kill on an animal that they consider is I'm spacing on the word entirely, but it's good, right?
Ethical.
Kill. Ethical. There we go. God, that word. I don't know. Maybe I have a problem with ethics. No.
No, you don't.
No. But you know, they want to make an ethical kill, so usually that's within 200 to 300 yards.
Correct.
And so that rifle is going to do that. But then you can take that rifle, you can take the action of it, and you say, hey, I want to start target shooting at distance, or I want to learn how to protect my property. What are my line of sight? What could I actually engage with this rifle? Looking at what you have, nothing. If I have, you know, most property, it's either going to be overkill because I'm within 25 meters of the front and back of my house, or if I have a large property, I can push out the distance, but is my rifle going to allow me to do that? Well, that $300 rifle, you might get a fluke coming off the line, and you have, you know, sub-quarter MOA. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Sub-quarter MOA shots at $300, but it's most likely not a real thing. So you can go with the next step, building off of that already. You don't need to go buy a whole nother rifle. You can go buy a new barrel for it. You can go buy something that's maybe match-grade, precision-grade, anything like that.
It'll fit on that same stock.
It'll fit on the same stock because most of the time, most stocks are going to be built around the width of the action, not the width of the barrel as it goes down because you want a free float barrel to accurize your weapon. So it's going to be at its base roughly 1.5 to 2 inches as a smooth cutout throughout the stock. So I can put a different barrel on there if I'm using a bull barrel or any sort of straight heavy barrel that's going to retain accuracy, not get really affected with heat out to distance or over a long period of time. You can throw that on there and that's completely fine. You can also just take the action out and throw it in a completely different stock. Magpul makes a bunch of different stocks. The XRS series from Orcs, they make a really good chassis system and it's $245. So now I go from the old school look of a synthetic or wood grain stock to something that's a little more modular. Now I have, I can open up or close in my length of pull. I have adjustable cheek risers. Sometimes they're built with ARCA rails into the front, which that's a whole topic in and of itself. But then I can drop my action and trigger right into that and it's completely fine. And that's only, you know, now I'm taking a $300 rifle, putting another $200 into it. Now it's $500. Okay, now my chassis works. Now I can build off that, looking into the barrel. Some barrels I found for $100 precision match grade, not the best. You want to spend a little bit more, but $200 to $300 line. Now I'm paying right around $1,000. Again, full rifle. I have extra parts in case anything happens at this point, but now I'm pushing out to, you could easily push out to 1,000 yards and be shooting sub MOA at that point, just with simple things like that. And then you pulled up the 110 precision, out of the box, right? If I don't want to build, I'm lazy. I just want to spend the dollars and say, hey, this is really good out of the box. The savage precision.
You're not lazy, you're just efficient with your time.
Efficient with my time. Exactly. That's God, you have a way with words.
Yeah. It's a senior NCO in
this. Yeah, senior NCO. But the 110 precision, I actually have the precursor to that, the BA-10 Stealth. But the 110 precision for $1,700. Now, a lot of people, they'll either think that's budget or that's really expensive. And I'd say that's a good middle ground for an out-of-the-box weapon. But that's going to give you, usually it's MOA or sub-MOA guarantee with their AccuTrigger system, which you can
tune as well.
Tune it. I think it's 3/4 of a pound up to 4 pounds, whatever your heart desires. But it also has M-Lock built in. You can add different weighted systems to it. It has a foldable stock as well as it's completely adjustable. Again, cheek, length of pull, all that sort of stuff. And then you can go into the Elite Precision. This is where you do start to pick up price, $2,250 to $2,500, depending on caliber, barrel length, any of that sort of stuff. But again, now you're getting into sub-MOA guarantees from Savage, where if you have issues, you can send that in and you will be fine.
Hey, just real quick, what do you think about the caliber, though? I mean, a lot of people are kind of like wrapped around the 6.5 Creedmoor.
I think 6.5 Creedmoor is great. I think it's a very easy round to use. 308 always has a place in my heart because that's long-range stuff. That's what I grew up on. But 6.5, I think cost per round versus what I'm getting is absolutely there. It's just easier to use. We talked about it over the phone 2 weeks ago, the 6.5 Math, the Math for Dummies, where you do X, Y, and Z, and it tells you your hold. 6.5 is really easy. It is a lighter round than 308.
Right.
But
it's like a 264 or something like that.
Yeah. It's, I think I shoot 129 grain Hornady SSTs, and I'm getting sub half MOA groupings at 100 to 300 yards, just because that's what all we have out here is. Mm-hmm. But it's also the flattest shooting round I have found if I don't want to start getting into 6mm arc or all those, what 6.5 used to be, which was a random round. But 6.5 for out of the box, most manufacturers have 10 different styles of the same weapon for 6.5, Creedmoor. And again, it's cost efficient, but you are able to really push out. I've seen people online pushing out to, I think the furthest one I've seen so far is 1800 meters with 6.5, and you're really lollipopping it there. But I mean, like, it can do some serious work depending on what you're doing and what rifle platform you're using for it.
Yeah, we got to get ready to go into our last break here. So interesting conversation. But nonetheless, when we come back, let's talk about some of these weird effects and stuff like that, such as the Coriolis effect. I don't know if we'll make it into aerodynamic jump, which is in and of itself.
Yeah, pretty, that's a whole thing.
That's a whole interesting thing as well.
That's all right,
so stay tuned with us. We'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM.
So, you want to go so far up the river you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665. Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim.
Renter Outfitters' extensive shooting department has what you need for your next hunt. Rifles and shotguns by Browning, Ruger, Winchester, and more. Handguns by Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and many others. Ammunition and reloading supplies as well. Protect and transport your guns with gun boots by Kolpin and cases by Pelican. Be on target with optics by Swarovski, Bushnell, and Leopold. Preparing for your successful hunt begins with a trip to Frontier Outfitters. For Alaskan proven gear and clothing, trust Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
K-F-A-R.
KFAR weather.
Isolated rain showers likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 61. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for isolated showers. Lows dip down to about 45. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska. As always, if you missed part of the show, you can always go back to KFARradio.com and find our archives at Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden. Scroll down past our bio, and it's all there. But we really appreciate everybody listening into the show. And if you enjoy the show and stuff, feel free to call all the people over here at KFAR Radio and say, hey, man, I really enjoy that show. Chuck, Cindy, and Matt do an awesome job. Yeah.
Boise Bell.
Bother Teresa and Melissa and all the other people over here. All great people. All right. So we kind of wanted to bounce this around. We were alluding to it, I think, the last couple of weeks. Let's talk about the Coriolis effect.
It's
so,
due to the Earth rotation.
Good job, Cindy. Yeah. And that summarizes the show. We're done.
Here we go.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah. So here's some interesting stuff, right? Due to the Earth's rotation, just as Cindy said, causes the projectile to deflect from its intended path over long distances. Now, where I've normally seen this was not so much at shooting, right? So even when I was doing stuff with AMU, the Army Marksmanship Unit, I don't think we shot at the ranges like that would affect this. Mm-hmm. I normally always saw it with like artillery and stuff, you know, because even on like a Bradley or something like it, you just induced more lead.
Yep.
Or with a newer system, you just lased automatically calculated lead and all that stuff based on target speed. Boom. You like it automatically.
Lays fire. That's
yeah,
it. We don't have
literally
to, no more math for that.
Yeah. And actually we have guns now that lays fire.
Yep.
The Israelis have them.
Yep. We also have the same thing. Yeah. The Army does now. Yeah.
Yeah. We probably would kill that program too. All right. So for 180 grain, 308, just like you were talking about before, which we know well.
Winchester.
Typical muzzle thank you, love.
You're
typical muzzle velocity of 2620 feet per second. A ballistic coefficient of 0.48. Fired at 2,000 yards under standard conditions. The effect depends on the latitude, the shot direction, meaning the azimuth, and what hemisphere you're in. A lot of people don't know this. They don't take this into account. Assuming a latitude of 45 degrees in the northern hemisphere, common in examples from ballistic sources, and firing due north, maximizing the horizontal deflection. So think of yourself, like, I guess the easiest way to picture this is like I'm in Fairbanks shooting true north, mm-hmm. not magnetic north, which we understand. I don't know what the GM angle here is now. It's like 21 degrees or something. That's the grid magnetic angle, in case you guys don't know. But anyways, so true north. For 2,000 yards, I'm going to have a deflection of a certain amount of distance.
Yep.
Right? Versus if I shoot due east-west, I don't have a deflection left or right. Now I literally have a deflection up or down.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the Earth's rotation. How close I am to the equator also changes that. So the further north I am, the less of a degree of deviation there is or rotation versus if I'm at or closer to the equator. So if you're shooting long range at the equator, it's going to be faster.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess the flat earthers don't buy into this.
they have now turned their radio off.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So in this particular case, with the standards that I gave you before, at a latitude of 45 degrees northern hemisphere, the horizontal deflection is approximately 18 inches to the right at 2,000 yards.
Which, out to that distance, doesn't seem like a lot, but that is a huge miss.
That could be a miss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're a sniper, right, and you're going for a center of mass, let's just say that, because we're not trying to do a headshot at 2,000 yards. It'd be incredible. I think even Hathcock would be impressed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 18 inches is a miss.
Yep.
That's a huge.
And this was at 1,800 yards or 2,000 yards?
2,000.
So that's what?
With a 2620 velocity with a ballistic coefficient of 0.48, which is really low.
And this is assuming that your rifle is firing 0.002 MOA. That
sure.
You could be dead on.
This is definitely match grade.
Yeah. This is make-believe, to be completely honest. Like, that shot can be made, but I'm shooting some handload sent down from God himself on some rifle that is about to have the nicest cold bore, you know, whatever. But that is still, if I'm shooting that accurate, 18 inches, that is a lot. I
Agreed.
Derailed this whole thing. Sorry, guys.
No, you're fine. But you just need to understand that if you're shooting incredibly long ranges, like, this is an effect.
Yep.
That could have that could be literally on your projectile. Now, we're not going to get into the math of this.
No.
This is like
everyone will fall asleep.
Yeah, everybody's going to fall asleep. This is going to bore everybody, and people will be like driving off the road.
You'll have to run the board. Teresa will pass out.
Yeah. It's already bad enough that it's like nap weather anyways. But because we kind of conclude that, right, just understand that if you're shooting due north, south, depending on where you are on the earth, you could, at long ranges, literally have a deflection of 18 up to 18 inches or even more depending on where you're at, right?
Yep.
If you're shooting due east-west, now if I'm shooting to the east, my round will be higher. If I'm shooting from east to west, it'll be lower.
Yep. One thing people have like to remember, too, with this is that when you're starting to get into the math for this, you're also starting to have to account for not only how the earth is spinning and the curvature and everything, but you have to think of it what your line of sight is even offering you. Because if I'm having to take into account that, I'm also having to take into account that at eye level, right? Mm-hmm. And if I was a flat earther, this wouldn't be a problem, but I'm not because I'm a normal human being. But if I'm looking out so far, I'm not going to see the first story to two stories of a building if I'm looking at just a building alone.
Right.
So what am I shooting at? If direct line of sight shows me I can see a person, the curvature is there at distance. But if I'm having to do this math, I'm having to understand that that round is definitely not going to go where it needs to go at all. It's not only the spin, but the gravitational pull alone is going to shove that round into the ground. People
now, correct
do
not me if I'm wrong,
that.
Though, but I think if I remember correctly on range estimation classes back like at EIB training, mm-hmm. like 6 foot person, you can only normally see like 12 miles before curvature of the earth.
Yes.
I thought it was 12 miles was kind of yes. like the standard.
Yeah. But if I'm firing a heavy round and I'm not taking into account this math at all, and then I'm questioning why anything's happening. And again, this is assuming that you're wanting to shoot past 1,000 yards in the
right.
first place. But if you don't start to like fine tune and tweak these things and at least apply that into your math alone, unless you're just using laser rangefinders that have everything built into it, you're going to be questioning why you're shooting off. Again, shooting 1,000 yards, you can do all day if you know what you're doing, which it's not that hard. But once you start to push out past that, people get really upset really fast that they're losing $3 a round because they're hitting the berm at 950 when they're aiming at 1,200.
Aerodynamic jump. We can actually get this in here. We got 4 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
Aerodynamic jump is a fascinating phenomenon in the world of ballistics, particularly relevant to firearms and projectiles like bullets. In simple terms, it's a slight vertical deflection or jump in a bullet's trajectory that happens right after it leaves the muzzle of the gun. This occurs, obviously, because the bullet is spinning rapidly for stability, thanks to the rifling in the barrel, obviously. But as it exits into the open air, it might yaw or tip just a tiny bit due to uneven aerodynamic forces. That initial yaw interacts with a spin, creating a lift force, similar to the Magnus effect you see in spinning baseballs or soccer balls curving in flight.
Yep.
So that's a good visual right there. Like if somebody puts a spin on a ball,
yeah.
like how it just kind of breaks, which pushes the bullet up or down before it settles into its main path. It's most noticeable in long-range shooting, hence the reason why we're talking about these things, where even small deflections can add up over distance. Yeah. Like, so even a 2 mil or 2 MOA or whatever like that jump, I don't even think it would be that much. It'd only be like maybe a 0.5.
Yeah, 0.25. It's really not a whole lot.
It's not a whole lot. But here's the status. In precision rifle competitions or military sniping, aerodynamic jump can cause vertical stringing in shot groups, mm-hmm. meaning your bullets hit in a tall, narrow pattern instead of a tight cluster. For instance, with a .308 Winchester rifle, 0 to 100 yards, a bullet might jump upward by about 0.1 to 0.5 inches due to muzzle yaw. Over 1,000 yards, that initial jump could translate to missing a target by several inches vertically, even in no wind conditions. Snipers account for this advanced ballistic calculations like Hornady's 4DOF app.
Yep.
Have you heard of that app?
Yep.
Which models a jump to predict adjustments. Also, your bullet length and design differences can make a difference. Longer, heavier bullets experience more aerodynamic jump because they have greater inertia and surface area for air to act on. So a short bullet like a 55 grain 223 versus a long one like a 250 grain 338 Lapua Magnum, right? The 223 might only jump 0.05 inches at muzzle, but the 338 could have 0.3 inches or more.
Yeah.
So I think you need to understand what your projectile is. Yeah, and that's not taking into account any wind either.
Yep.
Like, that's just
your easiest thing that to tell you where my round's going to be is your ballistic coefficient. I want to be
correct.
I want to get as close to zero as I possibly can, because for simple and time reasons, ballistic coefficient, think of it like I'm throwing a football. I want a perfect spiral on it. If I have a high ballistic coefficient, my round is tumbling, so it starts to go up and down while spinning. So think of a seesaw in the air. I want it to be as flat as possible, so I want it as close to zero as possible.
Wind can amplify it through the Magnus effect. If a 10-mile-an-hour crosswind hits a spinning bullet from the side, if it doesn't just push it horizontally, it can also cause vertical deflection. So, interesting. So those are all kind of things that we'll talk about in our long-range rifle class when we get that thing put together. We just kind of wanted to give you a tidbit of some of the science that we're going to introduce to this whole thing. But once again, wow, another Thursday is gone. That went quick.
Yep.
Our week went quick.
I need a hot chocolate.
It's cold right. in here.
Hey, listeners, thank you for tuning in here to Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. When we come back next Thursday, we're going to have some more interesting information. I couldn't tell you what it is right now off the top of my head, but trust me, it's going to be worth it.
Who knows?
And always go listen to our archives, KFARradio.com. Have a great weekend. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for
news and conversation.